Hello, this is your host Kim, and welcome to episode 10 of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit ABC TV show How to Get Away with Murder. And we'll start out with the official ABC.com episode recap of episode 10. Hello. Wow, this is going to be awkward. Raskolnikov, I know, like, Connor says in the episode and talks, I think it's from Pride and Prejudice, but I can't pronounce it again, and I'm not going to rewind it again to be able to pronounce it. Whatever. Anyway, Annalise tells the police that she only recently discovered that her husband had an affair with Lila Stangard. She claims she didn't recognize the picture of Sam's penis on the dead girl's phone. She says she found his body after calming herself at a friend's place. As she speaks to the police, Annalise recalls in her head how she gave Wes instructions on how to dispose of the body and destroy evidence. Sam deserved to die for killing that girl. Annalise declares that she got Wes into this. It's her job to get him out. Nate is called into the police station for questioning, as Annalise gave him up as her alibi. The Keating Five are also to be questioned. Annalise is concerned that they are all wearing their paranoia on their sleeves. She denies Wes's request to let them in on what's truly happening. She caresses his cheek. She needs him to be strong to help the others. Wes tells his story to the cops. He admits that he's dating Rebecca. Technically, she's Annalise's client, so it's not against the law. Rebecca is surprised when Annalise apologized for not going to the police sooner with what she knew about Sam. As for her case, Annalise employs a new strategy. In order to prove Rebecca didn't kill Lila, they need to prove that her dead or missing hubby did. The team springs into action. An attempt to get back Sam's laptop from the DA's office doesn't pan out. A new plan to get info from a women's clinic that Lila visited to prove Sam could have a motive for murder. This doesn't pan out either. Nate questions Annalise about how she was conveniently with him around the time Sam went missing. He buys her declaration that her husband is the monster here, not her. He knows she's scared everyone is. Laurel questions Frank as to if he believes Annalise's story. Connor tries to convince Michaela that they should go to the police. That's not going to happen. Instead, Michaela finds a loophole to get access to the women's clinic. This occurs as a relieved Annalise learns that Sam was the father of Lila's baby. Frank wants to know what's going on. Asher has no choice but to tell the police he was with Bonnie, who assures him that whatever they had is over. Their conversation is cut short when video evidence from the women's clinic surfaces. This leads to a worker testifying that Lila didn't want an abortion. Sam was angered by this. Annalise uses this information to convince the judge to get Sam's laptop away from the DA. This leads to a tracking of Sam's route the night Lila died. He was at the sorority house during the time frame of the murder. This evidence is compelling enough to get all charges against Rebecca dropped. The questioning of the Keating Five continues with Michaela being asked to explain why Connor's car was parked at Annalise's place the night of the bonfire. This has her reconsidering the notion of coming clean to the police. Connor knows they need Laurel, who is confused when Frank confronts her about being a liar. The question about telling the police the truth is still out there. Laurel is now on board, or so she says. She got the truth out of Wes, who breaks down in front of Annalise, who grants his wish to talk to the others personally. A promise is made. If they all let Annalise help them, they will all get away with what they've done. Annalise introduces a new case. Colorfully fake names are used as the details are divulged. It involves a killing by one individual, with three others assisting in the cover-up. It all sounds eerily familiar to the four of the Keating Five. After the test, Wes, Lauren, and Kayla do their best to move forward in their various relationships. As for Connor, he's quite convincing as he plays up Annalise as the victim in his interview with the police. There's a problem, though. Sam's sister, Hannah, guest star, Marcia Gay Harden, has come to town. She tells the police that whatever Annalise has said to them should be questioned, as she knows her brother is not a murderer. Alright, guys, so here we are, episode 10. And I apologize for the past two podcasts, for episode 9 and 10, don't have any law terms, but this one, episode 10, I tried to look up the abortion clinic room laws because Michaela, I believe, says there's a loophole that they can exploit. The Commonwealth sound like she said BPG, and I couldn't, for like, what, an hour or so of Googling and couldn't find this case, so I don't know if they just made it up. All I could really find is stuff talking about surveillance for protesters outside so that they can't harass people who are going to get abortions, and how the CDC collects abortion surveillance, you know, for their various stats and all that about abortion. So, sorry I failed on that one. And I also tried to look up how in the world a lawyer or even somebody who is in a case, you know, involved in a case can get a DNA sample before the court does. So, I don't know. I couldn't find much on that. I know you can voluntarily get a DNA test to prove paternity, but I don't know. I don't know about lawyers or just regular people being able to turn in DNA results from a man who is now dead. I couldn't find much on that, so sorry I failed on that one too. Anyway, let's get into the episode review. I love Annalise's new wig. I mean, it shows a change in her character. She's putting on a new strong face, so I thought it was cool, and she just looks gorgeous in that wig. So, you know, this tells us, it seems to wake us up from the winter break and tell us that Annalise has a new plan, she's got her face on, she's ready to face this. But as the female detective is listening to Annalise answer the questions the male detective is asking her, she just looks suspicious the entire time. In fact, she looks suspicious through most of the episode. And when Annalise first finds the body on the night of the murder, she's obviously distraught, so it's not like she just looked down at his corpse and started smiling and laughing. She was, of course, horrified, which I think any of us would be. And we get the reveal that Annalise told Wes what to do. Yeah, no wonder why he lied about the coin flip. And she told him to burn the body. And, which, now I find at odds, because it looks like they started to burn the body, but then Wes says getting rid of the remains is a bad idea when the four are throwing away the broken up body parts of Sam in a dumpster. So I guess maybe they didn't get rid of all the DNA. It looked like they were going to burn him, or they might have succeeded, but I guess they just broke up the body. So maybe he sees that there's that loophole in the plan that they can get in trouble for. I don't know. I guess we'll see how that pans out. Now, Annalise believes Sam deserved to die for killing Lila, and she says she got him into Wes into this, and she has to get him out. I'm glad that she is looking out for Wes here, and I think it was pretty hardcore that she said Sam deserved to die for killing Lila. Is this because she's had time to think about it, and she realizes that it's good that Sam's gone? Because, I mean, even though he killed somebody, you'd think you would be a little bit more distraught and upset and maybe not want your husband's murder. I don't know. I've never been in this situation. Annalise admits her affair with Nate to the detectives, which I guess isn't all that surprising because I think that's part of her alibi. And Connor thinks they are being set up by Annalise, which is interesting. I mean, we've seen Connor crack throughout the episode, so I guess it's not surprising he's the first one to start getting a little anxious and think that Annalise is setting them up. But it's still, I don't know, maybe it's just natural to think that. Laurel says that if someone cracks, the other three of them will pin the murder on that person. I'm about to call Laurel Miss Motive, because she just finds all sorts of reasons and excuses and ways to basically provide motive. So she's useful other than being annoyingly with Frank. Ugh. Annalise admits she is helping herself, and she tells Wes they cannot tell the Keating four, I guess, and Rebecca about Annalise's involvement. And she admits that she's trying to help herself, even though it sounded like she was trying to help Wes at the same time, but maybe she's just helping Wes mainly because he's entangled in this whole thing, and in order to look out for herself, she has to make sure that she has Wes close. Wes got Sam's ring for Annalise, but has anybody wondered where is Michaela's ring right now? How is that going to play in? Is it in one of those bags? Is that going to be how they tie Michaela into the murder? Because that seems like an easy one, and it seems to have been forgotten somewhere, and nobody has brought that up. Oliver says the guy that was at his house when Connor came by with flowers went back to his old boyfriend. Guess he was Oliver's boyfriend. He was pretty hot and buff. I would pick Connor over him anyway, but hey. You know. I guess if somebody hurt you the way Connor did, you would want to get rid of him, but still, Oliver still gets left by his other boyfriend. Or, I guess Connor wasn't his boyfriend, because the boyfriend went back to his underwear model ex or whatever. Poor Oliver. He just gets treated all sorts of wrong. Parks has already taken Sam's laptop, and that weakens the Keating 5 and Annalise's case, because now she's got a hold of some information, and they need that information, so Parks has the upper hand on that one. You go, Alicia. You're awesome. Connor says the cops saw them removing the carpet-covered body on the night of the murder, and I'm glad the show is better at feeling any plot holes instead of committing them often. I mean, they mention that, and you're wondering if that was going to come back, that somebody would mention that somebody saw them removing the carpet. So I wonder how they're going to cover that one up if it's ever discovered that the four were included in this murder. And Lisa's request to see if Lila got an abortion was denied. And like I said before, I'm not sure about this whole DNA test thing and how, you know, they could get the information before the court did. But whatever. It's still entertaining. Why does Annalise not want Bonnie to know about the murder, but she tells Frank? I thought Bonnie was back in the fold, but I guess not. I don't know why she isn't trusted. It's a little strange, especially for the person who always lurks around in the background. I mean, okay, guess she's still out. We see Sam at the abortion clinic with Lila. Why would he want the pregnancy anyway? Is it because he and Annalise couldn't have kids? Or do you think it was going to cause some sort of psychological damage to Lila since he's a psychologist? I mean, this whole affair and the dumping her would cause the psychological damage, but an abortion, I guess, more so. But I have no idea why he would want her not to get the abortion. It would help with him not getting caught. Now, Michaela was the only one who got the "why was Mr. Walsh's SUV outside of the house?" Question after Asher mentions that the SUV was parked out when he went to go knock on the door and figure out where the heck his trophy was. And she thought pretty quickly on the fly. It's not rare that you would want to park at a place you know and parking is terrible during college events. So hopefully Michaela was able to detour them on that one, because that one actually made sense. Now both Michaela and Connor are nervous and want to rat Annalise out. Which, gosh, here we go. And it's sad that I don't want to see Annalise go down. She didn't commit this murder, but she's done a lot, and I just feel betrayed by Connor and Michaela for wanting to betray Annalise. And they try to get Laurel into it. Oh, that's what I meant to say. Sorry, Connor and Michaela get Laurel into the plan to turn in Annalise. Anyway, but Laurel tells Wes about the plot, and he tells Annalise, and I think it was the right choice. She's better equipped to help them get away with murder, as opposed to the students doing it. So it was a bold move and a good move, I think. I love how the analytical essay assignment for the class exam sort of mirrors the Sam Keating murder. Was it a message for the Keating Four that were part of the murder, or was this just a convenient thing to do? Because she's always into talking about her current cases and making them class assignments. Annalise's sister-in-law is in town. Maybe she hates Annalise, and this will be a great plot point because they have to have something to drive forward the rest. I think we have, three or four episodes left? So this ought to be good, and that probably means that this will be wrapped up by the end of the season. I don't see the sister-in-law going into the second season. I think that'd be too long. I think that for the rest of the episodes, it's good to have the sister-in-law there, and then she's the whole thing is done at the last episode of the first season. And does anyone find it amusing that Annalise teaches a class about how to get away with murder, and it hasn't drawn any suspicion yet, especially in the instance of her husband's murder? I don't know. Maybe somebody thought it was easy to blame her because of this, and they put it on her, but I feel like maybe that'll come into play, and if it doesn't come into play, I'll be surprised, because the class literally is called How to Get Away with Murder, unless it says something else in the class catalog, and she just calls it How to Get Away with Murder, but you would think the students would think that was suspicious, and anyway. And especially prior students who probably have taken her in class would be like, we always thought it was crazy and uncanny how she could talk about how people could get away with murder, and look, her husband dies. Alright guys, finally, I've caught up to all 10 episodes after the winter break. I'll try to get this podcast out on Monday so that I have enough time to watch the episode twice and research it and look up law terms and all that sort of thing, which means that if you want to send in feedback, you can get it in. If you get it in before Sunday at midnight, then it will be on Monday's podcast. But even if you turn it in late, I will still read it. And you can give feedback by emailing, whether you do it by typing or audio file, at howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at getawaywithlaw. Or you can find the How to Get Away with Law Facebook page if you search it out. And then until next time, I'm excited. Tomorrow is Thursday, February 5th, 2015, and we will be on to episode 11. So I will see you guys next time to talk about that.